no place to escape to.
This is the Lost Podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. Just another episode of Side Stories.
That's it, buddy.
Just me and Ben Kissel.
Keeping it real. Keeping it real something. Keeping it real loose.
You know how that is, man. You got to keep your sneakers clean.
Yeah, dude. I haven't been able to do a good job of that. I've been wearing my Nikes.
You need to start maintaining the Nikes.
I bought the shoe wipes, but I just haven't used them because, you know what? They're just going to get dirty as soon as I go outside again anyway.
The idea is you got to keep mint. You know what I do? And this is true. Yeah, it's really nice. I keep the wipes next to the toilet.
Ugh.
And I have two wipes. So now I have my butt wipes, and then I have my shoe wipes. And then what I do is, while I'm shitting, I take the time to use that time period to clean my shoes.
That's disgusting. That is as gross as Kramer cooking. That is as gross as Kramer when he started cooking in his shower. That is exactly what, because you're not supposed to be doing that. You can't do something hyper-sanitary while you're doing something extremely unsanitary, like going to the bathroom.
My shoes are not sanitary no matter how clean they are. I'm not cleaning my shoes and then putting a slice of pizza at the bottom of them and using it as a plate. When I clean my shoes, it's purely aesthetic. I'm not tongue-kissing these shoes. I'm not rubbing them on my genitals and then spending time with my family. I am cleaning these shoes just purely surfacely. And so much like my beehole, which also must be clean surfacely because I can't get in her. I can't clean it inside because I mean, I'm not starting that process. Why start now?
Yeah.
So I start with the shoes. It's just nice to maximize your time.
All right. Well, this is Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben with Shoe Wipe Henry Zabrowski. I don't know, buddy. I think that's a little controversial.
I don't think so. You take an especially dirty pair of shoes and you leave them in the bathroom so that whenever you're shitting, you can clean them.
But yeah, you know, I just feel like back in the day, people used to do those things. They used to, like, what was that? Fast Times at Ridgemont High. The guy, he's masturbating in the bathroom. And now you're of a certain age where you're just cleaning your shoes. And
I'm still masturbating in the bathroom.
I think that's sad. I think that's
why?
I don't know. I just feel like you should be focused. Focused on what you're doing. Focus on the work at hand. And the work at hand, my friend, is not cleaning shoes. It's taking care of it.
You know what?
It's excavating waste.
In your crooked point, I should make more time to be in the present, and
that's
I should
what I'm
be
saying.
In the present more often because I understand that, and it's a gift. Our time is given here. That's why they call it the present. Which
I heard
before.
That. I heard
but
that.
But at the same time, maximizing time. Warren Buffett. You think Warren Buffett just takes a shit? No, man. Warren Buffett is probably compounding that doing real estate deals.
I don't know. I think Warren Buffett does a surprisingly few amount of things during the day.
I think it's one of the largest lies. I think he's a fucking liar.
Well, I think it is one of the larger lies that we as a people have created when it comes to the billionaire class, that they're very busy because by nature, they have nothing to do because they're billionaires.
What do you mean? How do they get the billions of dollars?
They just sit there and they watch the mathematical thing, the Wall Street jackpot.
Man, we do everything dumb and hard.
Yeah, we do. All right. Well, speaking of, neither of those things. Let's talk about that young girl. Now, this is a situation. So Natalia, she's Ukrainian. She was adopted, and there was a lot of speculation. I'm not going to say just on our show, on other shows as well.
Many
trusted platforms.
There's a lot of people that have been talking about this story. The most important story in the news cycle right now, by far.
Absolutely.
Continues to
far.
Be. So we know, again, Christina Michael Barnett, they adopted Natalia Mons. They adopted Natalia, in 2010, they believed her to be 6 years old. The Christine Barnett has gone on to say that she believes that Natalia was actually 22, with the most nefarious version of homicidal dwarfism that anyone's ever had. And she tried to kill the whole family, and they abandoned her by moving her into an apartment. They moved her in an apartment so they would keep their family safe, and then the whole family moved to Canada to further pursue the prodigy career of her young son, who is now a physics professor, I believe at the age of, he's either 12 or 15.
I heard he's 22. So this is what's so interesting about this story. Now, Natalia, obviously she got some bad press, and maybe she was doing a little bit of the poisoning of the yogurt.
Maybe.
Which I,
a little
don't poison
bit of
breakfast. Don't poison breakfast. And by the way, I know the super sweet, good liquid that goes into cars is called antifreeze.
What?
It is, as people were pointing out, it'd be like, because I just called it super sweet liquid. But it is antifreeze.
It is antifreeze. But it is supposed to be very sweet, which is why that story of the woman that poisoned her husband over the years, she hid the antifreeze in a Gatorade.
Exactly.
Because it's kind of sweet tasting.
Although now I do think they've altered the flavor. They ruined the flavor like they're doing with the Juuls. I think they just made it tobacco flavor now or something.
They went new Coke with antifreeze?
I'm pretty sure they changed it up so it wouldn't taste so dang good to the tongue. But nonetheless, so this girl is going a little crazy over there. That is really not up for debate. Everyone's like, even if she is 6 or 8, it's even scarier that then she's trying to poison the family than if she is 22.
Well, there's many things here because now Christine Barnett is in. They are being prosecuted for abandoning a child. And now there's a lot of information back and forth saying that Natalia is a kid. Natalia is not a kid. And originally the judge is now saying that the doesn't even matter if Natalia wasn't a child. She still maybe had some form of developmental disableism. So it's still abandoning somebody that needs a guardian's help. But now we're seeing, number one, one of the questions that came from last episode is where the hell is Natalia? She's been found. She has since been adopted by a family in Indiana. It's a preacher. It's Antoine Manns, who is a recently ordained pastor, and his wife, Cynthia, and they're 36 and 39 respectively. And they're saying she's full-on little girl.
Yeah, the friend of the Manns family have said the Manns care for Natalia as if she's their own. There's nothing.
You're supposed to. That's called adopting a kid.
No, there's nothing crazy going on or anything. These are good people. So that's what their story is. But let me just say this. This sounds a very similar story. It's a very similar story as to Barnett and the film Orphan. Of course, everyone starts out sweet. That's how you reel them in. That's how you make them trust you.
And so
the next thing you know, your car's not starting because the antifreeze, it's in the freezer hanging out with the Gatorade.
It's been mixing your ice cream. And all of a sudden you're driving down the street and you're like, Natalia, you're going to have a lovely time at dance camp. What's wrong with the brakes? What's wrong with these brakes? And she's like, what is that Ukrainian laugh, Natalia? The brake lines do not be cutting themselves. Parachuting out.
Whoa.
And then she parachutes out of the back of the fucking car. You're over the cliff. Another dead pastor.
And now
I don't think is a problem.
I mean, I'm kind of on Natalia's side to the degree that she's just having fun with life. She was born into this world. She didn't ask to be born into this world. She's playing by her own rules. You know, this is Ukrainian ingenuity.
So here's a couple of things that also more additional information. I did see a bit of someone put one of those Imgur albums together of all of the ways that it shows that Natalia might actually be growing up and she might actually be a child.
Okay.
But I'm not certain. She could still be an evil child. I'm with you, Kissel.
I don't know.
I think that she could still be a child, but she could be an evil child. But we got an email from Z. That is a possible explanation for how a seemingly 6-year-old could have pubic hair and periods, which was the big thing, as that she said, when Christine Barnett first gave Natalia a bath, she was full-on Lena Dunham down there. She was a full bush, right? So what we're going to see is it's possible,
this is
according
disgusting
to science.
This is disgusting. Let's just get through this part that you really wanted to do. Okay, this is written by a woman.
Yes.
This is a female perspective.
No, yeah, this isn't a man sending me, like, pictures of his own bush and saying, like, you can see this is my first fucking hair. I got this when I was 5. All right, here we go. Precocious puberty is a rare medical condition when a child's brain prematurely starts to produce the gonadotropin-releasing hormone.
Nailed
GnRH.
It.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Gonadotropin, which triggers the production of estrogen and testosterone. Basically, children can start to experience puberty at a very young age. And I tell you what, I really experienced puberty.
Not at a young age. I don't think you hit puberty until you were 17.
You should have seen the way I used to sexy dance as a boy in my room. I used to do weird little erotic dances in front of the mirror. It was fun. It was a way for me to release.
Uh-huh.
Under 8 for girls and 9 for boys. And it's unclear what exactly triggers this. I think it's seeing your first Chuck Norris movie.
I don't think that's true.
But it's been linked to a variety of genetic disorders, trauma to the brain, or tumors. In addition to causing the development of sex organs and body hair, it can also advance bone age of the child. A child with precocious puberty hits their growth spurt earlier, causing them to initially be much taller than their peers, but they also stop growing much sooner, usually only growing to 5 feet or lower. Maybe this is me. Precocious puberty also sounds like what fucking Ella Fanning went through.
Don't know what that
means. Because they're so smart.
Okay.
Now, so possible, so I'm going to just do this long story short. Child with precocious puberty are more likely to be victims of abuse, especially sexual abuse, although it's more so caused by children developing secondary sex characteristics than pedophilia. They're also more likely to develop mental illness, especially in girls. Boys are more likely to become hyper-aggressive. Their social and cognitive abilities can also be affected. So who knows?
All right, well, it looks like that's the best answer so far. And growing up in Ukraine, war-torn Ukraine, probably not the easiest life. So, you know what, Natalia, we are pushing, we're rooting for you. Don't kill this family. Just, you know, you're in Indiana, so death would be something that they crave. So don't even give it to them.
No, exactly. She could be one of those blood diamond child soldiers from Ukraine. Do they have them still?
I don't think that's where the blood diamond trade was. Ukraine isn't really known for their unbelievable gems.
No, it comes from the carnage gems. That's what's in Ukraine. Mm. Those war-torn little boys and little girls are out there fighting over the yams and the rock soup for the czars of Ukraine.
That is a history lesson given by a drunken uncle that should never be allowed near a school. All right. Well, speaking of people who shouldn't be allowed near a school, we hear this story come up about every 3 months, right? Casey Anthony pokes her little groundhog head up through the sand and the muck and says, "Hello, I'm thinking about having another baby." What do you think about this story? This is according to People magazine. Casey Anthony is considering having another child. I mean, she said her biological clock is ticking. She's got to get this thing going and kicking inside of her and screaming on the way out as it realizes that its mother is Casey Anthony. What do you think is going to happen here? I mean, is it going to be the lawyer? Is she still dating? She's still married to that lawyer guy? I think she is.
I don't know if she's married to a lawyer guy. Last I had heard was that she was involved with a private investigator.
Yes.
One of the people that worked on her trial that she became sort of a pseudo girlfriend / coworker of. And yes, her uterus does pop every once in a while out saying, like, "Remember me? Remember the carnage?" Which I, you know, again, it's her right.
Sure.
According to the law, she is innocent.
Yeah,
right?
No, she can have, even if she wasn't, I think she could still have a child, technically.
She has been exonerated. So, she can have this child. And maybe it's good for her to have a second chance. That maybe, just maybe, this time she doesn't kill it. And I think that that's more than most. Some people smoke throughout their whole pregnancy, knowing it's bad, right? So,
yeah, but
in the end, is it worse to grow a baby inside of you with booze and alcohol and weed fucking modules all up inside the infant, right? And it comes out all crooked-backed, like a Stephen King side character.
Sure.
Or is it better to let it have a full, healthy, almost 4 years alive? And then you just nip it in the bud then, before life gets hard, because it's really around 5 or 6 when life gets hard.
Well, oh, yeah, that's tough to say. Around that time, though, for sure. I think she's going to be heavily monitored. I'm pretty sure if Casey Anthony does have a child, every time she takes that child out on a walk, people are going to look in, make sure the child's still breathing. It'll be like all those old mob movies where they poke the child with a pin to make sure it does. In this case, to make sure it flinches. In those mob movies, it's to make sure it's actually dead. Or put like a mirror underneath its nose to see if there's any air coming out. Like, they're going to have, this is going to be, you know what it takes? It takes a community. It takes a large group of people to raise a baby. And in this case, it's going to take a large community to make sure that this baby is still alive every single day.
She also, whoever she ends up with is going to be named Eric, and he's going to be a backup dancer for somebody.
Oh, of course.
I feel like that's sort of in the mix here, but it's going to be some form of rapper. It is either going to be a SoundCloud rapper.
Whoa.
Or it's going to be some form of, I want to say lawyer, show business lawyer could go in there.
It's all coming together now because we were talking before the show, Tekashi 6ix9ine, he's got to go into protective custody. Where is it safer than to be around Casey Anthony, America's most hated woman? No one's going to bother him. He hooks up with Casey Anthony. They have a child together. Tekashi has a life reborn. I think that this is a match made in heaven.
You know who I'm looking up? It's Puck from Real World.
San Francisco Real World. Puck actually...
Is he dead?
I'm pretty sure he's beat a lot of human beings, mostly women.
I mean, this is what I'm saying. This is a good guy to get in there. Everybody can revamp. Everybody.
This is a revamp, huh?
You get... What's his name? His name is David Rainey. You get Puck in there. I think he could do it.
Puck is probably 60 years old now and still eating peanut butter with his bare fingers.
Let me see if he doesn't have his age anywhere.
Yeah, I think he's forever young. But remember him with Pedro, and then Pedro was like, yo, bro.
Yeah. Oh, but as of 2013, he's forbidden to leave Los Angeles County. So, yeah, that's going to be difficult. She'd have to move to SoCal, which she could do. She's already in Southern Florida. So, it's kind of a hop, skip. It's essentially the same lifestyle, but just different humidity levels.
Why is it when someone is horrible, they're like, you can't leave this state? Like, shouldn't they be like, you can't come back here?
Get out of this good state. Go to Wyoming.
Go away. Yes, you get sent right to Wyoming, Puck, and see if you can survive around the buffalo.
I mean, maybe he could find some much-needed peace. You know who I also would put up there as possible? Maybe almost opposite. If Michelle Obama would release Barack Obama for the relationship for 1 week and for him to go and put a baby inside of her. Mm-hmm. And then she has the pressure of holding Barack Obama's baby inside of her. And then she needs to sit and wonder, like, how much is it worth it? Because, number one, if she kills the baby, she becomes number one right-wing celebrity of all time.
Oh, that's actually a good point. But maybe that's what she's going to go with. I mean, I know she loves RGB.
But who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
But part of it is it's not about the politics. It's about getting back on top. And isn't it better to rule in hell than serve in heaven?
I could see it. Tommy Lauren, Casey Anthony, Laura Ingraham, a three-woman, triple-headed snake speaking to her. That could be very big.
Tops off, pundits out. That's what it's called. The whole thing is a tops off, fucking right wing pundit tour. This is a lot of stuff. I'm just saying. If I'm going to be a fucking manager one day, this is the kind of stuff I'm going to shoot out at some of my regrettable clients.
No, this has been a great News Corp like elevator pitch. As soon as I see Rupert Murdoch the next time, I'm going to let him know we have an idea. And when that show comes to fruition and we are EPs on it and we're making money on top of money and all we have
money
to do is sit
on top
and eat
of
pizza,
money. Sit there, Warren Buffett style. Ugh. Let my fucking ass turn into pancake batter, and all my knees do is make that money.
But then the irony is, of course, Barack Obama's in the production game now, so we could have a show produced by Obama. Woo. Oh my God, the whole thing is coming together.
Woo.
It's too perfect. Anyway, so that is a little bit of Casey Anthony news, and I'm just going to say this. I will believe it when I see it. I think she just likes to pepper these ideas out into the media so that she can get her 15 minutes of fame.
She's legitimately
down to nothing.
She's just grasping at straws. She maybe makes 40 grand a year. So she is trying to get it going as much as humanly possible.
I am surprised she never
40 G's is a lot. More like her having to cuz kids cost money.
Kids have money, or kids cost money, yeah. But with her, I am surprised that she did not take the porno deal.
I'm very surprised.
I'm surprised we haven't seen one. I think the deal is still out there. I think Hustler still has it out on the table. But I don't know. I guess she's too classy for it.
No, I think that it's not that she's too classy. She's waiting until it hits peak. Because you could also make a special where you get a bunch of guys together to impregnate Casey Anthony. and you do pornos with no condoms with a bunch of eligible bachelors that want to make the baby, and then you sell the sex videos, and then what you do is either that or you wait until which one, like you can have people either put money on which one catches.
It's not that much far. It's not that much different than The Bachelorette and The Bachelor. So I could see that happening. All right. Well, let's see here, Henry. We got to move on. Did you hear about this story, Henry, about this couple that broke into the Billboard in Auburn Hills and played a porno?
You're saying couple. It's like two teenage boys.
No, I mean, that's a couple. That is a couple.
Unless they are kissing. Even if they're younger, they're like literally too young. They're like two young boys.
But of course, I mean, that makes me feel better about the story, though. If it was two 65-year-old dudes who were just like into GILF porn, I'd be like, that's a little weird. This is what young kids should be doing.
I think so.
You know, I mean, obviously now they're going to throw the book at them. But
which is unfortunate because I feel like they, you know, they're having fun.
It's a joke.
That's fun. They're destabilizing. It's the most innocent way of being the Joker. You know, let them have it. Because even I was thinking about what a good way to start, like, maybe if we need the edge in pitches, what I was starting to do is start putting that new Joaquin Phoenix-style Joker makeup on and just going outside the bill and going, what's everybody upset about? I'm just a clown. I'm just a clown. Just to turn up the heat.
I love it. So these kids, they're facing 90 days in jail or a $500 fine. But, you know, I know you're not supposed to play porno on billboards. I get it.
Whatever.
But as far as children going, like, I don't want to get serious here, but we got people shooting up Walmarts. We got kids doing much crazier things. For me, in a world that we have to worry about mass violence on an endless scale, a little porno on a billboard is almost a breath of fresh air tale.
It's just sex.
Yes, it's just sex. And my understanding was it's relatively mundane.
Yeah, so it's not like, I mean, like, I think it's different if it's like a woman getting gaped by a fucking horse, like an actual
horse.
Well,
that is much different, yes.
That's different in ways. Oh, I don't know what's appropriate anymore. I feel that if for mainstream consumption, P&V, even P&B, where if it's dudes or women, that's just normal.
That's just, it's totally
even,
fine, consensual.
Even trans, and them all having sex in their various different ways. It's just P's and V's, or P's and B's, or in M's. It's P's and M's.
Is this how you're going to explain sex to your child? Because they are going to be immensely confused. It sounds like an arithmetic equation here.
No, sounds I'm like going to do a fully, I'm going to hire actors to do fully clothed reenactments of making love. Just so my kids can see what it would be
that
like.
That would be perfect.
And I'll just get a big, like, a big bunch of sheets of ham, put on a target, and be like, let's see if you can find the clit with this blindfold on. And I think that that's important.
Yes.
So that they can, I think that sex ed should also include sex techniques.
That's great, you know, because that's how they do it in the U.S. military when they train people for combat. They just do it, like, real goofy, you know, like, everyone's wearing, like, cosplay outfits. And then when the soldiers actually get to real war, they're like, oh, man, this is like, this is nothing like that. So when your child finally does see a vagina, and he's like, this doesn't look like baloney at all. I have no idea what to do here. It's going to make a really uncomfortable situation even worse.
No, it's about getting used to getting in there.
All right, well, there you go.
I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't want him to do it to people. I'm not making him do it to the landlady.
Not like the film Kingpin.
No,
that movie is great, by the way. That wraps up that last section perfectly, because we mentioned Tekashi 6ix9ine. He may have to go become Amish. And then, Kingpin, regarding the landlord lady, that film is hilarious. Check it out. We have to plug it.
Now we do.
And speaking of that, we have the interview with the director of Zombieland coming out October 7th. So make sure to check that out. Henry and I loved it. And I think the interview was great. Right, Henry?
It was really fun to talk with somebody that has the power to cast me in the future.
Live from your grave. Live from your grave.
Well, let's move on here. Henry,
I
want to
do the story.
Do you
I
want
to do the story.
Okay, do the story.
All right, this is the story of a man who believes he shot an alien.
Whoa.
Now, this is, I can't wait for this book to come out. Now, this comes from the app, which is part of the USA Today Network, by Eric Larson. In a new book, a retired Air Force major claims alien was killed at Joint Base McGuire-Dix Lakehurst. Was an alien shot and killed in the Pine Barrens of New Jersey? A new book titled Strange Craft, a true story of an Air Force intelligence officer's life with UFOs, claims that a military police officer shot an extraterrestrial being at Fort Dix in the early morning hours of January 18th, 1978. Now, this is done by author John L. Guerra, and it is done from the stories of retired Air Force Major George Filer III. Now, he is a decorated former intelligence officer for the 21st Air Force Military Airlift Command at the adjacent McGuire's Air Force Base. Filer, now 84, and living in Medford with his wife Janet, said that it's been an urban legend first promulgated by UFO enthusiasts since the early 1980s. It is indeed true.
Whoa.
Now, in the freezing winter darkness of that day in January 1978, a bipedal creature described as about 4 feet in height and grayish brown in color with a fat head, long arms, and slender body was shot to death with 5 rounds fired from a service member's .45 caliber handgun.
Damn.
As Guerra explained it in his book, the soldier had originally been in a police pickup truck driving through the wilderness of the base in pursuit of a strange, low-flying aircraft that had been observed passing through the military installation's airspace at about 2 a.m. that morning, which I'm now excited. I can't wait to read this book.
Yeah. I wonder if we could get this guy on at some point as well. So it's the 84-year-old that shot this person.
Yes.
But he is not the one who wrote the book. Someone wrote a book about it and they interviewed him. Is that it?
He has a ghostwriter that he wrote the book with, John Guerra.
Okay.
About an hour into the drive, the soldier became aware, in typical horror movie fashion, that the craft, oval-shaped and radiating a blue-green glow, was hovering directly over his vehicle. That's when the creature emerged from the shadows on foot, revealing itself to the soldier by stepping into the beams of the vehicle's headlights, where the panicked MP drew his weapon, ordered the alien to freeze, and then fired. Which is difficult if there's a language barrier.
But this is the problem. This is why it's like, if the aliens ever did come, the film Mars Attacks is probably the most accurate. You can't trust us. He just immediately shot this thing. Did the entity approach him? Did it seem to be hostile? Or he's just like, don't recognize it, better shoot it.
That's what he did. He basically just didn't know what the hell it was and he shot it. It could have been a young Muggsy Bogues. And they just shot him right in the head.
Oh,
right, this
horrible.
This is very, very difficult. Like, you know, I think it's indicative of this shoot first, ask questions later policy that has been put inside of law enforcement for many years, which is actually not true. You just scared the shit out of you. You got scared, but you saw an alien and you shot in the head.
Well, what the hell happened then with the alien body?
Well, as here, they did pick it up. There's a long story. There's stuff that I don't really want to bust because I want to read this book now and I want to go through I want to do this in more detail.
Awesome. So if anyone knows how to get in contact with that man, perhaps one of our crack staff members could figure it out. I would love to interview with him and speak with him because it seems like most stories we hear about incidents that occurred in the 70s from people who are now 84 years old are all horrible. So it sounds like, hey, this is actually one of the good ones. This sounds like one of the good old people who didn't get away with a series of heinous crimes. They actually just met an alien and should he have shot it? I guess that
I don't
would
know.
Be that's something up for debate.
That is up for debate. But I would say this is, again, a wonderful, wonderful story. And if you ever want to be truly amused with yourself, look up Deathbed UFO Confessions. Because this is the shit when it really comes out. Because that's when they start not giving a fuck.
Right.
And they're
right.
My favorite. One of my favorite UFO documentaries of all time is filled with it. It's called I Know What I Saw. And it's still my favorite title of any documentary. And it is just a bunch of old men going, when I saw a obelisk on the moon, they threatened to take away my badge. And I said, you could take my badge and shove it. Like, I love old, angry military men that are haunted by UFOs.
Oh, they are the absolute best. All right, well, let's just jump in to Hero of the Week, shall we? And this new song, it's from a fellow named Schmegma. He wants to be Alonzo Schmegma.
Ah, yeah. The way I would describe this... as it is sounds.
All right. Well, let's do this week's Hero of the Week theme song coming in from Mr. Schmegma.
Ooh, yeah. This goes out to Henry and Benjamin. Yeah, your homeboy toys, Soldier Ass Man. You fucking heard? You know what time it is. Oh my God, motherfucking hero of the week!
Call a how-to while you freaks. Move a psychos, nerds and geeks. It's time to start clapping cheeks for the motherfucking hero of the week. Shit your pants and watch him ski. Sad stories makes you yee. Oi, 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 to the beat. It's time for the hero of the week. Hero, the
motherfucking hero. Woo! You know what, Henry? That is, like, we have our listeners. They are so talented. We see it on Instagram,
so
all the great artwork. And then now we realize they're also great musicians.
So talented.
We got lucky. And
this is, you know, he did a good job of rapping. And I think it also really shows that we're with it.
Oh, we're the hippest guys around.
I think we're with it. We know what the kids love. They, you know what they love? Rap.
The rippity rap.
They love that rippity, rippity rap. I think it's a hip hop. Travis regularly makes fun of us.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you remember when we were in Berlin and we had that really nice, like, someone put us on the list for a club.
Yes.
To go to some fancy fucking dance club. And we're all, like, so excited after the show. We're like, oh, we're going to head over to this club. It's like, uh-huh. And we're like, oh, it's 11 o'clock. Well, hopefully we'll get over there in time. And I remember the Berlin man just, and Travis looking at us, and both of them saying, the club doesn't open until midnight. And mm-hmm. We all went like, oh.
That's going to get a little. Although, you know what, Henry? I did go to that club with my buddy, and it was actually, it wasn't as overwhelming as I thought it was going to be. Although as soon as we got out of the cab, someone did ask if we wanted to buy cocaine, and I just liked it for the aesthetic. We didn't do it, but I thought that made it feel like we were at a club. I was like, all right, this is kind of fun.
But then the promoter was also saying, don't offend the bouncer. Don't make yourself seem uncool in line. And for you guys, that meant, like, don't talk about Jim Croce for an hour in line.
Oh, no, we didn't wait in line. No, no lines.
Yeah, I try not to bring up. I try to bring, like, bad Leroy Brown when I show up at the EDM club.
Yeah, it is set. All right, well, Henry has a serious hero of the week, and then I have an even more serious hero of the week. So let's just start. I'll just start with mine. So this fella, you know, God giveth and God taketh. Evidently, there was a man, and God gave him a 10-inch penis. And you think, oh, wow, that must be so nice for him.
I've heard women say that's too big.
You've heard a lot of women say things about that. Yes.
You don't need all that.
No, you don't need all of that. That's
right. No. It hurts.
No, they're
not. You can't be in the mood for that all the time.
They're not just trying to comfort you as you cuddle into their shoulder and cry and cry. They say, no, that's too big, Henry.
It's
yours
too big.
Just right.
Yep.
So this man, he was busted for shoplifting, but he wasn't shoplifting anything other than his 10-inch donger. His name was Steve Whitehurst, and he's a window fitter, which that must be a tough job, honestly, with a big sausage like that.
It's
got to
be always like lay it on the sill. Right?
I don't
when
know what
on the top of it. That's got to be very dangerous.
I have no idea. So he bought 400 pounds worth of stuff at Scott's Menswear with his girlfriend, Mandy Shenton, and her 18-month-old grandson. They're walking out. The manager started to argue with him, and this is what the manager said. This is what he said. He said, the manager started to argue with me. She wouldn't let it go. I just kept telling her that it was my penis. And then eventually, he goes on to say, eventually I dropped my trousers in front of everyone and just stood there in my boxing shorts and said, see? I've got nothing to hide.
I think he just wanted to show his fucking cock to this guy at the grocery store.
No, because that didn't satisfy her. She kept saying, what's that bulge? He said he went to a cubicle with the male security guard at the local store in, quote, a store in Stoke-on-Trent. And Steve recalled, I dropped my boxers. He shook his head and ran out and spoke with the manager. I heard her say, please tell me he's got something down there. And the guy said, no. So, I don't know why he's a hero, but I just thought it was funny. He called last Sunday outing the craziest experience of his life as the company, you know, he complained to the company, and his girlfriend said it was so humiliating. What they did to Steve was disgusting. But, buddy, hang on in there, And you know,
yeah, I'm sure his life is fucking fine, Kissel. He's got a steady job, he's got a 10-inch cock, and that's really all that matters at this point. he has succeeded. And he went and he showed his dick at the grocery store like he was Paul Rubens, which he can do. I mean, it does make an exciting day at the grocery store, I can fucking imagine.
It does. Well, either way,
because every time I fucking show my penis at the grocery store, they're like, "Sir, we didn't want to know if you brought it, if you were trying to smuggle a jalapeno pepper out of this store." All right, but here we go.
So really, I just wanted to tell that story. This was the time to do it. But now, Henry, let's talk about someone who is a true hero and who has passed on.
This is the story of a man named William Carlos. This was someone just recently wrote this from the Washington Post by John Rook. There was a man named William Carlos. He led his life for the example of a man named Charles Fort. Charles Fort was an eccentric New York journalist who spent the early 1900s scouring newspapers and scientific publications for bizarre reports. Rains of blood and frogs, UFOs, ancient Roman coins plowed up in American fields. All of these crazy stories of the wild and the extraordinary and the paranormal that he was trying to view at from a scientific angle. Now, Corliss was the same type of guy, and so for many years, for decades, he put together these giant handbooks of unusual phenomena. Like one was called Handbook of Unusual Natural Phenomena, the rare halos, mirages, anomalous rainbows, and related electromagnetic phenomena. And so he created this legacy of compiling these examples of crazy stories that he tried to sort of go out from a scientific angle. But according to his son, Jim, who's now the last of this living of this family, his entire archives are just slowly dwindling into nothing. He has a website called science-frontiers.com that has been around. Like, they've been talking about trying to keep his archive alive since 1997. And this is me as a reach out. If anybody has these books or wants them, it's like I have a sort of a obviously I'm getting to be pretty massive paranormal book collection going on here at the studio. I'd love any sources of these books, PDFs of these books. We really need to keep his work alive. He spent many decades being the rational force within the world of the paranormal, and this is our time. If you have it, if you have this shit, I know some people out there, I imagine John Tenney, people who have any of these source books, see if you got them and send them my way. We got to keep these things alive.
All right, there it is. What was his name again, Henry?
William Corliss.
William
Corliss.
William Corliss. And the man with the and the man with the 10-inch penis. Heroes of the week. What a duo. Okay, well, let's do some listener email. And again, you can always email the show at sidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. That's sidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. Email the show. We always love to hear from you. So, Henry, you got some cool-ass emails, right?
Yes, I'm now sifting through it because, first of all, already getting your listener pasta submissions.
Yes, thank you.
We will fucking keep them going. Can't wait. We're going to do at least one of these. I think we might have enough to do fucking two.
That'd be awesome.
Already. We might do two leading up to Halloween. A lot. We're trying to get as creepy as fucking possible at the end of October. We cannot fucking wait.
Yep.
But here we go. This one comes from G. I'm emailing you as a somewhat a tribute to my amazing dad, who died a few weeks ago in a motorbike accident. A badass until the end.
Aww,
he spent almost 30 years in the police force and made it to the rank of detective chief inspector. As you can imagine, he had some crazy stories, and I wanted to share one of the craziest with you today. My dad got called into a crime scene involving a World War II vet. The man was laid out on his bed like he had simply fallen asleep, except his hands were horribly mutilated and his head was missing entirely.
Whoa.
After some searching, the head was found under the bed, also very, very badly disfigured. My dad realized this wasn't just some face hand-based murder cult, but something much cuter. The man bred Pomeranians and had an unfortunate heart attack in his sleep. And it seems his beloved pooches, having nothing to eat, decided to eat on his face enhance.
Aww.
So your dogs may love you now, but if you die, you are nothing but jerky to them.
Well, you know what? If I die and I didn't put on enough dog food for, 2 weeks before someone finally knocks on my apartment door to say, hey, maybe we'll check if he's still alive. Or, you know what? It'd be nice if someone could just check a little bit earlier, but that's okay. I'm not upset. I'm dead. I want my dogs to nibble on me, and I can be their final meal, unless, of course, then they turn rabid, and now we have 25 rabid Pomeranians running around. That can cause havoc, as we saw with the Chihuahuas, the Chihuahua gangs in Detroit.
Oh, yes, that's right, the Chihuahua gangs. That's right. I think that he,
what do you know?
You die like you live.
There
you
it
live
is.
Like you die. He was having a good time.
I'd have no problem if Puffin decided to eat me. If he's got to eat, you got to eat.
Now, this comes from this is response to a story we did last week about that woman biting the camel's testicles.
Ah, yes.
This comes from Jay. Imagine the joy I felt when I heard Hero of the Week involved a woman biting the testicles of a camel, channeling her Sami ancestors, perhaps? Growing up, I was reminded on the regular that my female ancestors used to castrate reindeer with their teeth without ever drawing blood. The reason was I had the power to fuck up any and all the men's without them even knowing. The foundation of why I am the bad bitch I am today. My family came from Uolo, Finland, and traced their heritage back to the Inari Finn, the Finnish Sami ethnicity, and Karelian. I'm certain that I'm not butchering any of these names.
No, nailed
it. A region which is now a part of Russia. Castration of reindeer happened annually to control herd numbers. Doing so without breaking the skin meant there was little to no need for wound care or risk of infection. Being Finnish is awesome for lots of reasons, but this is up there. And so she showed a video of it, of which is a Laplander reindeer castration that I saw. And basically what you do is you get your mouth up in the gooch area behind the back of the balls.
Okay.
And you just crush it with your teeth. Like you crush the pipe that the cum would go through in the back of the balls.
Okay.
And that's it.
That's it. Oh, yeah. That's the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I do have one story here. It's just kind of a cute tale. I've been promised that it's real. It's entitled Bigfoot Stole My Doritos, a true story. So that's why I've been promised it's real. Bigfoot stole my Doritos. So you can imagine how hungry the Bigfoot must have been then. The story goes, I was camping a few years ago with my now ex-girlfriend. I'm sorry that it didn't work out, but that's okay because there's always somebody else.
Thank you, Kissel.
No problem. We were deep in the woods, really pushing ourselves. One night I awoke to a sound outside a tent and a smell like dead skunk and cat puss. And cat piss. God damn it.
You smell like cat pussy out here.
How do you know what that smells like, sir?
Cat pussy. I should know for a fact because I'm a... I sniff my cat's dick regularly.
All right. So anyway, it smells like a dead skunk and cat piss. I've heard that you smell bears before you see them, so I thought it was just a bear trying to get our food, which I had hung in a tree about 100 feet away. That's how you do it. Good job. I grab my headlamp and shout, "Yeah, bear, yeah," as I unzip the tent. But when my light finally settled on the culprit, I realized it wasn't a bear. It was a goddamn Sasquatch. He had climbed the tree and torn asunder my food sack, and there in his big furry hands was a bag of Cool Ranch Doritos. Instinctively, I yelled, "Put down my Doritos!" And oddly enough, he did. We kind of locked eyes for a second, and I could tell it was studying me. My heart was beating a mile a minute, but calmly I said, go ahead and take them. They're probably all crunched up now anyway. It sat there, not understanding English. I guess I pointed down to the Doritos and nodded. Bigfoot got the message, picked up the bag, and quietly walked back into the darkness. He recalled this moment many times, and everyone asks, where did this happen? But he'll never tell. Looking into those eyes that night, so human-like and intelligent, I know Sasquatch deserves privacy and the occasional bag of tortilla chips.
Where is there any listing of your whereabouts on this night? What year is this? This is Barry. This is your MO.
We don't have a listing. And you know, I do.
No, it doesn't have you mixing all of the snacks from a hotel bar in a bowl on your lap while you're shitting.
Yeah.
You also, this is the other thing. You made fun of me at the very top of the episode for multitasking, but you often eat on the toilet.
Yeah, that's true. Which is technically
worse.
More disgusting.
This is worse.
Hey, man, glass houses. I don't throw no stones.
You just did.
You did it at the company show.
This one last letter shows why you shouldn't yell at me.
Okay.
This comes from H. She came to the Berlin Live, so she wanted to say hello. She came from Krakow, and was so happy that you came and met us at the meet and greet. So here's a letter that she wrote. Henry, you may have a reason to gloat about your heritage. Your name, originally spelled Zabrowski and pronounced Zabrowski, with the J like in the French name Jean, so it could be Zabrowski, may mean that you have noble ancestors. The Zabrowski noble family was probably around in the 15th century and definitely in the 17th century. It started with the Polish king giving his knights rights to some land in central Poland. They started their own settlements and the family grew, and some of them are still around. Their family crest used to be the goat and an eagle under a crown, and the family proclamation, a kind of motto, was respect to the noble, to the despicable, disdain.
That is, I cannot believe you chose to read the email. It's a lie of an email.
No,
also,
it's not.
It's Polish royalty.
Polish royalty.
I don't.
That's Polish royalty, buddy. That's big. That's big. Wait till I go to the fatherland. One day I'll go.
Yes, we could have gone. We should have gone when we were out there in Berlin, but Berlin was too nice. It sucked us in.
And, yeah, I was having too much of a good time. We were just so sick by the end, too, that it was just I'm not ready for Auschwitz.
I know. Marcus and Carolina went to Auschwitz, and I am going to have to. My brain is going to have to be stronger than it was by the end of our 3-week tour, because I was just about to cry walking down the street for no reason, just like looking at a pigeon.
Can you believe her in Berlin? Yeah, if I went to fucking Auschwitz, it would just be me just dumbfounded, just staring at shit.
Yeah. I was just, but anyway, Marcus will, I'm sure, talk to us about that experience on the next Relax Fit episode of Last Podcast on the Left. So, well, thanks everyone for your support. Thank you so much for supporting all the shows here, Able Against Top Bad, Wizard of Bruiser, Page 7. You know where to find them. Check them out, rate and review. And thanks for the great response, honestly, on the Mormonism series. I've gotten so many DMs. It's been incredible. I did get one man who said I've been a little bit hard on Christians. Not all Christians. I'm just talking about my experience with the evangelical community.
The difference is that we've had these experiences with bad Christians, so that's the reason why we have these stories. It's not just blind malignment of them. We legitimately just have had problems with them, and yes, we understand that not each individual Christian.
No, and everyone, you know what I always say, Henry, whatever you got to do in this world to survive, as long as you don't hurt other people, I understand. You got
it. I've never heard you say it before, but I'm glad you said it.
I've said it before. Oh,
but
yeah.
Mostly it's us at, like, I think you might have said it at some point
you
at 3 a.m. in Dublin.
Because you don't listen.
I do listen. All I do is listen.
Oh, my God, that's what I say, Henry.
All I do is listen.
Technically, that's all we do. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Henry, just give him a give him a triple L.
Hey, guys. Oh, number one, before we go, I want to say Senior Ed Larson and I have a show in Los Angeles. We do a show called Classy Night Out at the PAC Theater in Los Angeles. It is Wednesday, October 9th. It is free, but donations are accepted. So fucking show up to that show because people line up and it's fun. No cameras allowed. So you know what it means. Oh, we can really fly free out there.
You can fly free. And of course, it's Ed Larson's birthday in the very near future.
Saturday.
So, yeah, on Saturday. So wish him a happy birthday.
Send him a ham.
Send him, if you would. Oh my God, that would be amazing.
He'd love a ham.
Anyway,
oh God, he'd love a ham. Love every day. Love every day. Like, you just figured out this is the proper Joker makeup that I'm really excited. I'm going to do an open mic with this, and everybody's going to love it.
I can't wait.
Live every day like you're after that open mic, and maybe you're wiping off your Joker makeup, and you're thinking, oh, man, I'm so angry with the fact that nobody laughed. I'm going to really take it out on everybody because I never had a girlfriend. But then you know what you do? You look in the mirror, and you laugh. And you laugh because that's what a clown's job is. You gotta laugh first. You gotta laugh first, or nobody else is gonna be laughing. They're gonna be crying because you're gonna be bringing a gun into a school. So what you do is just keep laughing. Even if it does sound like, you know, useless sparks, eventually it will grow genuine.
Yes,
and understand that if the women don't like you out there, it's probably your fault. So what you got to do is you got to just kind of flip it, reverse it, and understand what it is that make that is special about you. And if you could just make one person smile, maybe just that, you can make yourself smile.
Okay, did you do the love one, though?
Yeah, at the top. I mixed it all around.
All right, there we go. Thank you all so much for listening. Never forget, hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Oh, yeah, hail me.
Oh, yeah, buddy. I think you're going to be a great father to Casey Anthony's child.
Natalie won't let me. I said I'd just mail my sperm.
Yeah, no, mail. That's a great idea, Henry.
Then no, but then you out-creep
Casey Anthony.
No, I'd obviously ask, I would send a letter first asking for permission for me to send my sperm in the mail.
Perfect.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.